The line that stood out to me in that opening song is, we are learners, we are teachers. I think it's more like we're students because, you know, students don't always learn, do we? We're not always willing to be taught. That's just life. And what we saw last week with the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes up the mountain, his disciples come to him, the disciples self-select out of the crowd because they're ready to learn. So, some of us today are a crowd, some of us are disciples. Let's see what happens. I want to talk about confession. I thought that would get more of a rise out of you. I want to talk about St. Augustine's confession, or the Confessio Laudis, the confession of praise, because what Augustine did in writing kind of the what's deemed to be one of the first, if not the first, autobiography, what it wasn't like a kiss and tell like we always think of, or it's like not like standing in line to go to confession or anything like that. He confessed the praise of God who was with him and guided him in his foolishness. That's the Confessio Laudis. That's the confession of the praise of God, which we do in the Eucharistic prayer. I'm going to run up to that and hear it in a minute. The picture given in the last part of the today's gospel about the lamp giving light to the house. It's very interesting. In Matthew's gospel, he uses the term oikia, which is not a place to shop, but it's the Greek word for house or tent or whatever. And what Jesus does, he go out and teach, and then he goes back in the house and instructs the disciples. And that's where the light shines. And the light is primarily Jesus. And the disciples are learning about what it means to have our lights shine. So just saying you're the light of the world, get out and do it, you know, for 50 years just about I've been saying, huh, what do I do? I'm not that good. I'm not that worthwhile. What do I do? The house is the place where he teaches and instructs the disciples, just like last week. The disciples self-select, and they come and say, what about that parable? What the heck did that mean? So disciples, students, go through the humiliation of education. Because we always put ourselves in a limit situation because we don't know. And if you want to study Japanese, if you want to study foreign policy, if you want to study calculus, if you want to study any darn thing, you step into the room and basically say, I don't know anything, bring it on. And after that is, you know, 12 weeks of humiliation. Because we don't know it all. And that's part of the mystery of discipleship. And so for Augustine to say, God, I did this and I did that and I did, but you were patient with me. You brought so-and-so into my life, like Ambrose. And you taught me this. I give thanks and praise to you because you did not move away from me, but rather you stayed with me to teach. It's about wisdom and the wisdom that is the light of the world. So, in the first part of the gospel, that thing about you are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its taste, how could its saltiness be restored? That's probably the worst translation in the whole New American Bible. Because the Greek word translated to lose its taste is morino, meaning to become foolish. It's a word from the wisdom tradition about fools. How does salt become foolish? By not being taught. So, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells the story about the two guys that build a house. One builds it on rock, one builds it on sand. The house on the rock lasts through all kinds of storms. The one in the sand, built by the fool, moros, from the verb morino, to be foolish, moros or moron, his house is blown away, utterly destroyed. And the point is, if you hear my words and act on them, you will be like the guy who built his house on rock. And it lasted all the storms. If you don't hear my words and act on them, you'll be like this fool. Now, the good thing is, in one sense, is that it takes us so long to learn anything. That's my experience anyway. When I was 25, I thought I knew something. When I was 35, I thought I knew something. When I was 45, I thought I knew something. When I was 65, I thought I knew something. Now I do. So look out. Okay? But the deal is, there's so much more to learn. And becoming available to be taught as a disciple is about learning, going into the house with Jesus, which is a holy place. You know, they talked about the light on the lampstand. I don't remember the Greek word for that right now. That word in Greek is only used in the Old Testament as the lampstand in the tabernacle, in the presence of God. The house where the teaching happens is sacred. It's hopeful. And so what we're going to be left with here in not too long is next week and the next week, and I don't know how many weeks we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount. And what it seems to me we get to do by reflecting on our capacity to be taught and asking God, what do I need to learn this year? We get to do like Augustine. Oh God, I was so foolish. I did this and this and this, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, and it doesn't now. And so here I am to praise you because you, my teacher, have not left me alone. You've brought me along to learn. At the Eucharistic prayer, we give thanks that God, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, leads and guides us to salvation. What is it we might receive about that today? To be taught in the house, to give thanks to God for our foolishness, and say, teach me more. Teach us more. And if you don't think we in this world, in this country, don't need to be taught, oy vey. Let's pray to become willing to be taught.